The Gospel reading this morning is from the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, a couple of weeks ago I received a denominational journal, which otherwise will be completely unidentified. In the journal, there was a meditation about Ascension Day. And the upshot of the meditation was that, well, this is the moment when Christ's works become our works. This is the moment when Jesus leaves us, his work is done, he is completed in all his tasks, and now it is up to us. His legacy is now in our hands. Good luck. It seemed that for the writer of this meditation, ascension was the expression of Jesus' absence. Jesus has gone. And now we have to figure out what to do next. What is striking about the New Testament speaking about Jesus' ascension, that for the first Christian community, it seems to be the exact opposite. For them, Jesus' ascension is not an expression of his absence, it's an expression of his presence. Just think about the way in which the Ephesian letter just spoke about Jesus' ascension. Jesus' ascension is his inauguration into the royal throne room. It is the moment when he is seated at the right hand of God, the biblical phrase for the place of power. He is seated above all power, above all authority, above all dominion, and from there he is now ruling all of creation and leading creation to its final goal. Jesus is in charge of creation and as such is present to everything that happens in his creation as he is leading it towards where God wants it to go. As the opening prayer from this morning that came from the Book of Common Worship says, by raising Jesus from the dead, God proclaimed Jesus' victory. It is the moment when we celebrate the work that Jesus has done and has completed and has fulfilled. But then, as it continues, by his ascension, you declared him Lord of all. A completely new chapter of Jesus' work opens up, expressed in his ascension. And so for the first Christian community, Jesus' ascension is not an expression that he is gone. No, he has come near in completely unexpected ways. His power is present everywhere. And his work hasn't ended. No, his work has begun in a completely new phase of triumphantly leading history. It always feels to me that the most striking image about this is the image that comes in the second reading of this morning, when the gospel writer tells us about how Jesus is leading his disciples to Bethany in the hillside, and he raises his hand and he blesses them. And then while he is blessing them, and the Greek is very clear about this, it is not that his blessing is over, thereby his work is completed, and now he goes away. No, while he is blessing them, he ascends into heaven. His ascension is, as it were, folded into his blessing. His ascension is an expression of his blessing. And the blessing in the Scriptures, certainly in the New Testament, that has an eschatological flavor. To bless someone is to put that person on the road towards their God-given goal. It is leading them into the direction that God wants them to go. And this is what Jesus is doing in his ascension. He is blessing his people, leading them towards what God has in mind as the goal of creation. Jesus isn't absent. He is present more than ever. Jesus' work isn't over. It only has just begun. At the same time, saying that, of course, raises all kinds of new questions. And may sound better than saying, well, it is up to us now. But so if Jesus is now raised above all authority in heaven on earth, if he is enacting his power, how exactly is he doing that? How is he leading creation to his final goal? And I think that question presses itself all the more upon us when we look around us and we see, well, it doesn't seem that the life of the churches is so triumphantly. It doesn't feel like history is progressing and getting better and better. Institutions that we have long relied on are crumbling. Powers that we trusted seem to be fleeting away. Dark clouds sometimes seem to overtake history. How can we, in the midst of all of that, say that Jesus is enacting his power? When with those questions in mind, I was meditating on the text that the lectionary gave us for this morning, I was struck in particular by the image at the end of the Ephesians reading for today. And he, God, has put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. The ascended Jesus fills all things. It seems to be an important image for the Ephesians writer, because actually the image comes back in the fourth chapter, but the writer returns to the notion of ascension and says, he who descended, who became incarnate, is the same as the one who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. So here the writer even says, this is exactly why he ascended, so that he would fill all things. Jesus enacts his power by filling all things. What does that mean? Well, two things struck me about that image. The first is that it's a spatial image, not a temporal image. I think that quite often when we think about an acting of power, we think about it along a temporal line. Just a moment ago, I voiced what I feel and what maybe many of you also feel, that when you look at history, it right now it doesn't seem to be progressing very well. That's expressing it in a temporal line. It doesn't seem to get better as you might expect. Politicians measure their career in temporal times. 2 years from now, there is an election again. What can I accomplish in these 2 years to be re-elected? Or politicians or the electorate, they find themselves in opposition and they say, well, okay, I can hang in there for two more years, but then let's start working and make progress so that we can accomplish. Churches and seminaries make strategic plans, saying in the next 3 years we will accomplish, in 2020 we will be. We measure what happens along a timeline. But not so in this image. Nowhere in the Ephesians letter it says that Jesus is enacting his power by year after year, by century after century, progressing towards the kingdom of God. No, he enacts his power by filling all things. And the second thing that struck me about this image is that the filling is in the present tense. It doesn't say he is filling all things more and more, as next year it will be a little bit more full, and a century after that it will be even fuller. No, he fills all things present tense. Everything right now is full of the presence of the ascended Lord. All of creation is filled by him. Now pause for a moment and think about that. Because if that is true, that means that that struggling congregation is no less full of the presence of Jesus Christ than that flourishing one down the street. It means that the presence of Jesus Christ is no less full in that institution that seems to flounder than when it was still flourishing and going strong. It means that Jesus Christ is no less completely filling the Trump White House as he was filling the White House of his predecessors. Every part of creation is full with the presence and power of the ascended Lord. Now, what does that mean? I am not sure. And it's exactly the fact that it is Ascension Day that allows me to say that without any anxiety. See, if Ascension Day was that it was up to us now, then we would have a problem, because then I would need a roadmap. I would need to know what am I going to do next, how am I now going to fill those big shoes that have been left for me. But if Ascension Day is what the first Christian communities claimed that it is, that Jesus Christ the living, resurrected Lord, He is filling all things. And it's okay if I don't know exactly what to do with this faltering congregation. And it's okay if I don't know how to respond to crumbling institutions. And it's okay if I don't know where history is going from here. Because I know that Jesus Christ is there. That He has made Himself a home in every part of His creation. And that's why I think that Ascension Day is the Christian feast for such a time as this. When we don't quite know where to go, when we can't quite see the roadmap, it's okay. Because Jesus Christ has been raised and seated at the right hand of God. To Him is given all authority in heaven and on earth. And He is filling all things. Glory be to His name. Amen.